good evening. On Friday, June the 27th, 2025, happy Canada Day for Canadian, for those of you in Canada. Welcome to the Books Panel. And we are here on the last Friday of the month, for those of you listening live, in case you have missed the announcement. I want to thank you guys. I want to thank you so much here. I want to thank the panelists as well for joining tonight. And we're going to start here. We're going to discuss Values by Mark Carney. And Jeff, I'm going to start here. We're gonna kind of kick things off here. When you saw the book, when you went through it, and I know you went through different, I know you went through it at different parts, but what was your thoughts on how he started to talk a little bit about what he had to do as the governor of the Bank of Canada and eventually and the Bank of England?
Well, that was when the book really got good. For me, this, you know, that was, you know, for anyone who picks up this book, that's chapter 7 is when he really starts to talk about that, because before there's a lot of pretext with a lot of background on different value systems, ways of governing, and the history of basically the banks of the international banks of the world of the global financial view. But I really, that's when I really started to get, you know, into the book, because that's coming directly from his experience. And he really got the warning before a lot of the mainstream, before a lot of outsiders saw what was going on. Because, you know, that point, 2007, it looked like everything was going okay, because there was a lot of market investments going on. The market had really sort of taken over the way of doing business, the way of banking, the way of loaning money, investing money. And it was just sort of taken for granted that all of those infrastructures and all of those assets would just be there. And there were warning flags that went up, and really it was just about getting everyone on board to basically hope for the best, but expect the worst. So prepare policy-wise, crisis management-wise, for the worst to happen. If it doesn't, well, you're at least prepared. If it does, then you're ready for it. You're not caught flat-footed by it. So I don't really know if that answers your question. There's, you know, this book was a lot to go through, but hopefully that's at least a point to kick us off.
Did it? I don't know if it mentioned anything about the 2008, about how he handled the 2008 recession, but he did talk about what had to be done during COVID times from an economic, I'm going to call it an economic leader. Did any of that sort of stand out to you in terms of, like, what stood out to you when you learned about what goes on behind the scenes and how and what goes into implementing those types of policies that had to be implemented during that time in that sort of rushed moment?
Well, I think it goes back to the underlying theme of the book, which is the value systems and the values at which government operatives, politicians, policymakers, and bankers make their decisions. And one of the things that struck me, and I spent a lot of time sort of glued to the pages on, was the idea of, okay, there's a pandemic that's going on. It's widespread. It's very contagious. And we have to lock things down and get this under control. Well, that requires, things are locked down, that means people aren't working and the economy is going to take a dive. So government sports have to be there. Well, part of making policy is cost-benefit analyses. And at this point, you're getting into cost-benefit analysis concerning human lives, and in terms of healthcare, in terms of priority. And it really, that's when the different value systems at which we target how much fun, like how much is a life worth? So then you've got how much is life worth itself? And how much is the prevention of death versus the aftermath of death? And that's where insurance had come in. So coupled with the idea of how much to value, you know, how to sort of calculate human life's worth fiscally, not life values, but secondary to that comes the government's legitimacy with the citizens on which it rules. And in some cases, the amount of preparedness that a country is, you know, that a country has taken prior to the pandemic doesn't exactly correlate with how the public responds to it, because there are some times where I think it was definitely the US and Brazil were very prepared, but they did not act accordingly, and citizens didn't really take that seriously because of the despondency to their government. So a government's credibility helped with the public's follow through. And in Canada, despite everything we had here, we actually had a pretty good following here.
Like, I mean, I feel like in a sense people didn't take it seriously. Some people thought it was a hoax, and I feel like the reason for it is because, for one, nobody wanted to be, from the perspective of the citizens, I'm just going to kind of go off that point there for a second, then we can discuss it, I feel like the reason that the citizens didn't take it seriously because there had never been something like that during our time. But I also feel it was due to the fact that people didn't want to be locked in and not be able to do much.
Oh, totally. It's only human nature. And, you know, adding to that is that really sparked a lot of solitude, because you have to stay away from everybody. You have to physical distance from people, or social distance from people. See, it's been so long, I've forgotten the terms.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that includes family members, that includes friends, that includes, you know, colleagues. And so, you know, on one hand, that's very, you know, connection is very primal to us as human beings. And so that's one battle we're fighting, but also too, it's human nature. We're not meant to sit still. We're not meant to, you know, stay in quarantine. So it's going to be difficult for anyone who did obey it. And so where you get, you know, adding to the secondary topic of values then is now you've got individual value versus the value of the collective. And that means that someone's actions and decisions and just the principles that keep them going, are they self-interested, or are they part of a broader collective, which is the actions, you know, my actions will result in these consequences for other people, which will ultimately get back to me because of how we operate as a society. So there are definitely people who took it seriously, people who didn't take it seriously, but I think everybody went through it begrudgingly, because ultimately nobody likes to do it.
No, I agree, yeah. And I mean, even like, I'll be honest, like, for me, at first, I really didn't think of it. Like, I was like, oh, okay, you know, I came to terms with it, I was okay with it. But then as time kind of went on, it was one of those things where, you know, you know, like it's time for things to kind of come back to some type of normalcy and some type of that, right? But, and I think we sort of saw that gradually as things kind of went. Now, I did miss my sports when sports were shut down. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, everyone remembers, it's like a where were you moment, or, you know, where were you when the country shut down? I remember it on a Monday in the middle of March. It was just before St. Patrick's Day when the country really took, you know, really went into lockdown. The borders were closed. Businesses were closed. Everyone was sort of trying to follow up on the news story, as it were. But what's interesting is that this had been in the news for at least 3 or 4 months.
Yes.
But it was something we were hearing about, but it was never immediate to us. It almost just kind of came, it struck us as like international news where something's going on, but it's not here. And there isn't really an indication of what, you know, we're supposed to do about it. And there was no public messaging about that either. In fact, a couple of weeks before, in the middle of February, I went with some friends of mine to a resort in Honduras because my friends are divers. And they wanted to go diving somewhere, and their travel agent got them a good deal in Honduras. And I thought, oh, well, while they're off doing their things, I can go get some more surfing lessons. Well, there, that island and that resort was populated by 90% Canadians. And there were cruise ships that were going in and out all day, and nobody said a word about COVID for the, 7 days we were there. And I get off the plane and back into the terminal out onto the streets, and the first thing I hear is, oh, there's this coronavirus that's going on. I'm like, what is everyone going on about? You know, that's not a thing. But then about a week later, there it was.
Yeah, it kind of caught you by surprise there anyway. Okay, yes. Okay, Sienna, go ahead, please.
Maybe we should let Sienna, so we should sort of recap where we are, what we're talking about.
Yeah, we will. Go ahead, Sienna. Can you unmute?
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Can everybody hear me?
Now we can.
Yeah, no worries. No, I was just wanting to let everybody know my apologies. My internet decided to give me the boot.
That's all right. Well, so, you made it back.
I made it back. But when it came to COVID, if you could please just give me a little bit of a recap.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Well, we've taken up the book and what the book, the book's time period of talking about COVID. Everything from, you know, crisis preparedness and preventative measures to...
Right.
To how the government's messaging when it came out, how governments acted and how the public followed. Some places like New Zealand, I don't want to take words out of your mouth, but some places like New Zealand got through it within a couple of months, whereas we took a bit longer than that, and the US took way longer than that. So like it's the values of the collective, it's the values of how we, you know, our government's credibility and how we as citizens respond to that, and how, you know, are we operating on a sense of community or a sense of individualism and autonomy?
Yeah, and
that's kind of where we started.
Yeah, and it's interesting because even like I haven't had a chance to get too far into the book, but it's interesting to see how like the different countries acted, and you know, the time it took them to act, even like within Canada, I mean, there were people who like the governments, you know, once they started really getting into it, you know, they took the necessary measures, the preparedness measures, and it's interesting to see, like, even within Canada, like, some people were very much opposed to the measures that the government were taking. But it's interesting because, Jeff, you were, when I came back, describing an anecdote, like, how you found out about it and that. And, you know, I remember I remember kind of being all over the place, like in the sense that first was the initial shock of, wow, this is actually, like, I had heard about it in China, but I thought nothing of it at the time until about March, mid-March, and that's of 2020, and that's when it kind of hit me, like, wow, okay, this is actually very serious. And I remember, as many people did, I remember going pretty stir crazy.
It's tough too when you can't see.
Absolutely.
Because you've got to maintain social distancing, and even if you can't, and if you're masked up, you're banking on people sort of putting two and two together, whether they see a mask, like if they see you and you've got your mask, but if you've got a cane, you've got your dog, or some people might see you as, oh, are you not even aware of what's going on? Or are you just blocking everything out because you're standing awfully close? Or, you know, do some people, or most people would sort of put two and two together and go, oh, okay. But it really, when everyone has a sense of duty like that, you really start to think, I felt, there are times where I felt kind of cornered about it too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And another thing that a lot of people were saying, especially those who are hard of hearing, were saying too, that when it came to the COVID and everybody masking, people who rely on lip reading were having a hard time because, you know, when the person's talking to you and, they have their mask, it's very hard for the person who's hearing impaired to be able to read the person's lips. So it's definitely, and of course, you're absolutely right. I was always worried about, am I getting too close to someone? And the whole 6-foot rule, I can tell when someone's close, but like the actual like 6 foot or even like approximately 6 feet, if I'm 6 feet away, like it's very hard to gauge that.
And not just those who are lip reading who are hard of hearing or profoundly deaf, but even people who are, even some blind people that use echolocation, though their ears aren't covered, the mask is still there. And it's in some ways in the auditory pathway. And so it was a struggle for them too.
Absolutely. I've never thought of that, but that's a very good point.
And who else we got here?
We have Lynn here. How are you doing, Lynn? Glad you were able to make it.
Yeah, I'm not too bad, thanks. I think I need a new laptop.
Yeah. I know the
What feeling. Are your thoughts, Jeff?
Oh boy. Anyway.
Well, I'm in the midst for one myself, but we won't go there.
No. I prefer to never go there, but anyway. I've been eavesdropping for a few minutes now. Very interesting. Jeffrey, I like your comments, and Sienna, you as well. I did find it quite shocking as well. And it's interesting what is said in the book. I think there was a pretty vast array of people who, at various points were either in denial or, didn't think that much of it. I took it very seriously. I had a friend who passed away in Spain, a Canadian, a professor from McMaster University, and he passed away in Spain. He was traveling and caught it, and he died in a hospital in Spain. So I think,
condolences.
Thank you. I think that was one of the things that, because it was, it was a little early-ish. I don't think we had gone into lockdown yet. It was just a little bit. So it had a profound effect on me, and I took it very very seriously, and, you know, being concerned for others. One thing for, you know, to get it yourself, but you certainly don't want to pass it on to others. Interesting times. And it's funny because when I started reading this book, which I haven't quite finished, it occurred to me, I hadn't given it much thought as to how, you know, the whole experience has sort of trailed me into the future, you know, but it has in one way or another. Anyway,
And it's one thing to, because we're reading about this and it's something that is really, you know, that happened collectively very recently. It was only, you know, from 3 to 5 years ago is when we were in the midst of it. And this was written, mm-hmm. you know, when we were in some cases still dealing with the aftermath, because we would still have periods of lockdown or yes. building closure. So, you know, it's really just a deep dive into recent history and a global dive at that. Oh, who we got?
Oh, it's Anna coming back. I seem to be getting booted out quite a bit today.
I seem to be appearing twice. I don't know. Not sure how I did that. But anyway.
No worries.
Oh, well, whatever's happening, it works. So.
Yay!
Just to make sure my hold on. Hang on.
Well done, well done.
Yay, it works!
Allie, what you got?
Sorry, no. Sorry. I'm coming in now. I don't think I was properly before, but now we are okay.
Oh, you were fine before. Unless you were okay. Muted and we didn't hear you.
Okay, there we go.
Yep, you're coming in nice and clear.
Perfect. Sounds good. Yeah, because I think, though, like, yeah, when it came to social distancing, it's one of those things where it's one of those situations where I don't think it can kind of ever, like, I think it's one of those difficult things. I agree with what you guys said, because you would never know. And I think that was kind of the reason that we were more cautious to do things during that time period.
Mm. And the amount of time it would take, the amount of time you would be spending trying to keep your distance would really sort of override the pleasure, joy. Like, remember when the beaches opened in August and you'd get those messages about, you know, maintain your distance at the beach and in the water. It's like, who's, you know,
oh, yeah.
You're not really, you know, unless you're trying to avoid, like, you know, sea creatures, that's one thing. But, you know, humans, you know, we're relatively on, you know, we're on good terms with each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I found it interesting how my grandchildren, you know, responded, and, you know, children, they have their parents, their family as role models, right? So they were quite good. You know, they did not have to be told, you know, when to put their mask on, when to take it off. They were all pretty good. And I was worried that, you know, they'd be really frightened. But they didn't seem to be. And again, I think, you know, it's an example that their parents, managed to convey that it was serious and we must take it seriously. We must wear our masks and wash our hands, whatever. But it didn't instill, you know, any fear in them to the point where they were paralyzed.
If I can editorialize for a second, it was quite entertaining how you would hear people that were fully sighted say, I didn't realize how often that I touched my face with my hands, or how often I just, no, you know, there was a whole sense that they hadn't really thought of before, just because vision is their most dominant sense. But I agree, because if you can introduce wearing a mask, you know, to the same level of like putting on your, yeah, as the dog barks, putting on your jacket, you know, when you go to school, and taking it off when you get in, you know, when you get into the hallway and you're in front of your cubbyhole with your hooks on it. You know, if it's just part of your getting ready routine of the day, like, you know, it's like when, you know, we're adults, you have it next to your purse, your wallet, and your keys, or your phone, and it's like you just grab it. And so, yeah, once, if you can, you know, it's really up to the parents to instill that sense of, you don't want to scare anyone because they're children and they have to live their lives.
Yes.
But you do put that, you do just make it part of the routine that this is what we have to be watchful of. And you just make it like it's anything else in life, really, even if it's not.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. I, you know, and it has to do with similar values. I loved the title that Mark Carney chose for his book. I thought it was, well, you know, targeted. I like the title. I had a lot of trepidations about cracking this book open. I thought, oh my goodness, I don't like reading. But quite frankly, you know, it wasn't as painful as I thought it would be. I thought, this guy's an economics guy. How am I going to understand this? But, you know, it's so clear and so well written. I almost, not quite, but I sort of almost read it as though I would approach a novel that I got really hooked on. So I was, you know, I was pretty delighted about that. Who knew?
It is written, you know, I remember picking it up and beginning to read it, and I'm like, I feel like I'm studying a McGraw-Hill textbook. You know, it has it has that very sort of dry, you know, I watched an interview with Mark Carney after it came out, because I wanted to see what other discourse was out there. And he was on the agenda with Steve Paikin, and he'd casually joked to Mark, he said, you know, I read your book and it's more Karl Marx than Groucho Marx, but you know, it is. And I was like, you know what, that is the perfect sort of summation of it. If you needed to find an elevator pitch, it is, you know, it is its own manifesto. It's pretty thorough. It is pretty long, but it is, there's definitely a lot in there. If you know, if you're a reader who likes, you know, big ideas and philosophies, you know, quite, you know, there's a bunch of different rules of governing, there's utilitarianism and stuff, but and then a history of the global banks and financial institutions throughout the centuries, like you know, the Bank of Amsterdam, or you know, the I think it was like the German banks that engaged in declipping of coins, where you have metals literally stripped away of the coin. It really became a matter of, can we, what kind of foundations can we put in to serve our publics and to serve our commerce, where you've got a trusted form of currency there. So there's a history of that, and then it really goes into the COVID and climate change parts of things. That's kind of a sort of brief summary of how things are laid out there. A very broad table of contents.
Yeah, well, yes, I'll say. Also fascinating. But you know, I really I'm very comforted. I'm very happy that he is our prime minister, and it has nothing to do with, you know, I didn't dislike Trudeau or anything. I was upset when he decided to step down, but you know, I could see the wisdom in it. And when Mark Carney then, you know, stepped up, I thought, well, you know, he seems like a pretty sensible guy. He speaks well. He's obviously very bright, well-educated. And of course, you know, sitting on needles the first time he you know, met with what's his name down in the States, Trump. But, you know, he certainly held it together. You know, he might have been tempted to smack the guy, but he didn't. You know, so I was pleased that he, you know, just kept his cool. And I think it's a crapshoot. You're dealing with someone who is so you know, has so many crazy moving parts. It's got to be a challenge. And I do think that Mark Carney is, you know, doing the best that anyone could possibly do.
I think it's also a time where his strengths are really needed, like his expertise. Yes. He's someone who lives and breathes finances, finances, because I could say it again. It's almost like the three F's, but negotiations, diplomatic relations, and it really gets him to put that, you know, to put that hat on and be in his element. But I honestly wonder too if he would have, well, and in some ways this book was almost like a way of getting his hat into the ring in terms of almost like, if I were prime minister, I would blank, as far as on a policy level. So, I mean, it's all happenstance in terms of how he got here, but the book came out and he started making more public appearances, writing columns, appearing on debates and stuff in and around that time of like 22, sort of working for an opening. But I also wonder now how he would approach it if he could go back and look at the work that he's written. And you know, how he's spoken, how he read the book, how he's come up, you know, how he's been in public debates. I imagine that running for a prime minister has really done a lot for him in terms of his own public communications, because he has always been very, you know, before the election race, he was very jumpy, he was very quiet, and it's almost like talking to a filing cabinet. He just seems very uneasy. Whereas if you're gonna present on a national stage, you've got to have charisma.
Yes.
You've got to have a clarity of tone. And, you know, some people even take vocal coaching and speaking lessons in order to just be more professional or official sounding. But I'm going to shut up now, because I could go on for an hour back and forth with people.
Well, you have many interesting things to say. So it doesn't matter. You jump in, carry on, whatever. Anyway, so to get back to my earlier point, I think that, not that I'm going to run around picking up a lot of, you know, books about politics or, you know, similar things to what Mark Carney wrote, but I have no fear now. So I might actually pick up, I don't know what next, but, you know, it would be good to, you know, expand. So I think I've certainly gotten over that fear, I think. So even if I read a terrible book, you know, the point is I'd be reading it, I would get through it. And, you know, of course, any book you read gives you, you know, food for thought, whether you like it, love it, or detest it. So there you go. I'm in. I don't know if I mentioned it the last time we... the last time we met, but I picked up, oh, for heaven's sakes, I can see the cover in my mind. I picked up a book. I think it's just simply called Zelensky. Anyway, I found that.
Oh, the boring book.
Rather interesting. Sorry.
The boring book.
Yeah, we did a panel discussion.
Yeah.
Back in April.
Oh yes, 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 yes. I read it. A friend of mine coaxed me to read it practically the day after it came out. So it's been a while now, but yeah. So I read that book. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fascinating. He's an interesting man and has a very interesting background. And the fellow who wrote the book, you know, I think took a lot of care, you know, to reflect with a great deal of accuracy and insight into who Zelensky was and how he came to be where he is. I enjoyed it. It was good. But now I need to pick up a third book. What's it going to be?
Anyway. I think July's book should help you with that too.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. That's right. Yeah, definitely.
That's true. That is true. Yep, that is true. Yep, absolutely. Yep, absolutely.
Allie, what you got?
Oh, in terms of the book?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of agree with what was mentioned here. I sort of thought he went a little bit. I thought what really stood out to me here on it was the fact that I thought it was interesting how he laid out what happened during the COVID times and how he and what had to be done during that time, like in the moment.
With like all the like with the preparations and then also the valuations of how to keep things afloat during the.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it was one of those things where while people may not have appreciated it, what had to be done had to be done. And I think that proved it.
Yeah, and you couldn't really buy your way out of it if you were a business or if you were someone who was wealthy, because you would still be impacted on it daily. Like if you owned a mansion, for example, and you could maybe if you had a big pool of resources, you know, in terms of getting your food, if you had deliveries or if you had friends who are farmers, well, you know, they still have their own lives. Everyone else who's around you has their own lives. Anyone who's working in the public that you encounter has their own lives, and you'll eventually be impacted on it somehow or another. Even if you have family, there's it was a really big reminder of how everyone's all in it together. And we were all going through the same trials together. We weren't always experiencing them the same way, but there, you know, there was always someone who was just like you who was going through it for ill or for will. You know, whether you were healthy or unhealthy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been a very powerful discussion. And I look forward to reconvening with you guys, in July. So check us out. Sienna, did you have anything you wanted to add before we go?
Oh, yeah. Wanted to add, you know, I was kind of hesitant to read the book, but I you know what, I just might. I haven't had the chance to read too much into it, but you know, it even though economics and finances aren't really my thing, you know, it sounds like something that, you know, I might be interested to read and kind of find out about, like, you know, the history of the global banks, and that, you know, it might be a good idea to at least get like some idea of how they work and stuff like that. And you know what, I really agree with you, both of you, what you were saying, Jeff and Ali, about, you know, what had to be done had to be done, and you know, not a lot of people really appreciated it, but
yeah,
the title Values really demonstrates that. It really it really hits home there.
Mm-hmm. Sorry guys, can you guys hear me okay? Because it seems like my system volume, it seems like the Mac, it's regulating my volume. It took it down to 17.9%. Am I still coming in okay?
Yeah, you're coming in.
Oh, yeah, you've been spot on this whole time.
Yeah,
oh, you've really?
Been spot on. Hopefully I'm the same.
Maybe I won't pay attention to that.
Had to regulate my volume because my Mac was deciding.
Yeah, maybe I won't pay attention to that then. Okay.
But you're good. You guys are good. You guys are coming in nice and clear, spot on. And, yes. You know, that it's true. Like, everybody really experienced it in our own way. It wasn't, like, for me, I can say it wasn't that I resisted it, but it was just that first. And Ali, you'll probably remember me saying, remember, I used to volunteer at CNIB on site. And when COVID came along, I was just like, oh man, I'm bored. I really don't know what I'm going to be able to do with myself cooped up inside.
Oh, I remember that. You told me that.
Do you remember that, Ali?
I do. I remember you told me this offline.
Yeah. Yeah. The person who usually says, oh, I haven't got time to be bored. Thankfully, that's the case now. But I remember going absolutely stir crazy. And then there was a period of, I don't know whether to call it fear or anxiety or perhaps a bit of both, especially, you know, having caught it once, and it just kind of scared me a little bit, and now it's still there, and you know, we still are doing what we can to, like, we don't wear the masks or anything anymore, but we still do what we can to keep ourselves safe, and you know, it's there, but I don't feel that it's as much of a threat or a scare as it once was.
No, because you know what, I enjoy the activities that I do, so
absolutely, yeah.
And yeah, so this has been a very fun. Jeff, did you want to add something?
No, I think I've kind of covered most of the things I wanted to. It's funny because I read it, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and so now I'm looking back at my notes, and it's like, well, I'm you take a step back from it, and the immediacy at which you know when you finish something, it's all right there in front of you, and so now it's like trying to go back, and because I remember writing down little parts of little things you'd learn about the different value systems, you know, how you evaluate things like human life or net worth, but yeah, there was all a bunch of, you know, I learned a lot while in school.
Sounds good. Yes. And for those, and feel free, you can always connect with us on the Discord. Details are, and of course on the Goodreads group, details are for that are at bookspanel.ca. And I look forward to reconvening again in July. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Lynn. And thank you, Sienna, for joining me on this panel tonight.
Glad I was able to make it despite the little internet glitches. I'm glad that I was able to be here and chat with you guys. Great discussion, as always. And look forward to being back in July.
July is Polyev, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. A political great. Life.